Very happy Monday to you. Welcome to the Dairy Brothers Tribecast. This is Todd Dairy, solo, without my great friend, brother, confidant, tribe elite member, Matt Dairy, who is on vacation this week. But, you know, we got to give you the pod, right? You got to have it. Got to have the Dairy Brothers Tribecast because so much has gone on this week in Cleveland with our baseball team. I have to tell you, it's been a strange week in a strange season, yet we still sit at 41-33, 2.5 games back of the first place Chicago White Sox. And, you know, you'd think with that record and being that close to one of the best teams in baseball, there'd be a lot of excitement, but the way things are going now with this baseball team, you just don't know what's coming around the corner. As most of you, since we last spoke last Monday, Tribe starter Aaron Civale, who was on his way to the All-Star game and led the league in innings pitched and was really the rock and the anchor of the rotation with all the injuries, got injured himself with a finger injury that will require him to be on the shelf for at least 5 weeks. It's not a great thing when you were basically down to Aaron Civale and a patchwork group. So now the Indians will basically head out. They headed into last week, essentially starting on Tuesday, with a rotation completely different than what the rotation looked like on opening day. This team, we had talked about, the organization built up the pitching factory and a rotation which had multiple options and depth, and now that depth is being completely tested to a degree which nobody could have ever expected. Here we are, sitting here on Monday, the 28th of June, and the rotation looks like this. Cal Quantrill, J.C. Mejia, Sam Henches, Eli Morgan, and a fifth starter to be named later, which looked like it was going to be Logan Allen this weekend, who I didn't think we would see again after he completely melted down, got hurt, mechanically was a mess, but he was getting a start this weekend, if not for the rainout in Minnesota. Tristan McKenzie, who was in the opening day rotation with Logan Allen in the last two spots, he seems to be remaining in AAA. His last AAA start, he walked four, so you know his command issues are still there. So Logan Allen was getting another call. Justin Garza was added to the mix as an extra bullpen arm this week, and was greeted by Nelson Cruz with a three-run homer in Minnesota immediately, but the rotation is a complete mess. You know, you really don't know what is going to be gotten every time you go out. I don't even know if I could sit here and say to you, you know, if I asked you the question, who is the one starter that you are most comfortable with right now out of those five? You could ask, you know, four different people and get four different answers. I really don't know what I would get, you know. With Civale leaving his start against the Cubs in that 4-0 win at the beginning of last week, you know, things have obviously changed quite a bit. The next day, Eli Morgan, who was making his, I think it was his third start. Yes, it was his third start because I went to his first two, was great pitching into the sixth inning for the first five innings. He was terrific, struck out nine, walked none, looked really, really good, and was let down by his defense and ended up, things spiraled out of control. He gave up four runs and then was removed. There was some shoddy defense, though, the fact that there were no errors called. So there was that. Then you had the scheduled day off, which was good on Wednesday, and then they came back for that four-game set in Minnesota this weekend, well, what was supposed to be a four-game set. And Juan Carlos Mejia really sparkled, pitching six innings, giving up only one earned run on four hits and striking out six while walking just two in the 4-2-1 win against the Twins. And I really like what I see from Mejia. I would say that, you know, if one of these guys has to start one game, I'd probably pick Cal Quantrill. But I think Mejia is nipping at his heels here. I like the mix. He gives you a different look. It's not power, power, power. But I really like what I've seen from him thus far. So he obviously is going to be a mainstay in the rotation. As of right now, like I said, I think he's probably your number two guy. In the Friday night loss, the 8-7 loss where the Indians jumped out ahead in the first, only to lose that lead and then come back and regain the lead and lose it again and all that. Cal Quantrill was not great. He had given up six earned in four innings. He did only walk one. Again, he was not helped by his defense, but he had that one really bad inning where everything spiraled. That it was that third inning where the Twins got him. There was the three-run homer that Kirilloff hit in the third, but you know, Luis Arraez, who kills the Indians, had two triples in that game, and one was just a complete butcher job in the outfield where outfielders getting turned around. You know, it's the outfield defense has been poor. You know, whether it's Eddie Rosario in left, who's fine, whether it's when you have Harold Ramirez playing center field and he's not a center fielder, Bradley Zimmer going towards the wall and almost getting to a ball, but clearly it was in his head where he had been injured before. You're going to have these issues when guys are playing out of position. But when you're starting pitching is the way the Indian starting pitching is currently, you just cannot be giving up extra outs. Your defense has to help these guys, and they continue not to. So, obviously Quantrill's going to stay where he is. And then, you know, you had Sam Henches, who on Sunday got, you know, he gave up six runs in three and the third and walked four. And I know Matt and I have both said this on this podcast before. I still come back to the fact that I think Sam's long-term play is as a two-inning reliever throwing 97, 98 rather than a starting pitcher with command issues who's throwing 94, 95. But right now, these guys are all pressed into service, and you don't have the luxury of you just don't have the luxury of moving Sam Henches to the bullpen. I mean, luckily for the Indians, they have a lot of bullpen arms, and the pen is rock solid, and so, you know, in this instance, Sam has to stay in the rotation. But you know, when we get in, you know, when you're looking ahead, I'm going to jump ahead like what, you know, my brother likes to do, the pitching matchups at the end. But we're talking pitching right now, so the way this week is going to look is, you got the Tigers, and they come back home. Tigers for three, Astros for four. That Astros series could be I'm a little concerned about that, I won't lie. So Monday you have rookie high draft pick Matt Manning going I just called him the Tigers twice. Unnamed team. What am I doing? So you got three for the unnamed and four for the Astros. Matt Manning versus Eli Morgan on Monday. So let's see if Eli can capitalize off of his great start, his last time out in Wrigley Field. Jose Urena on Tuesday for the unnamed team against J.C. Mejia. And then Wednesday you have the great Willie Peralta against Cal Quantrill. Now, where we're going to get into the dicey situation is now, you know, with that rain out, you were able to kind of skip the Logan Allen situation, but when we head into Thursday to start that four-game series with the Astros, you're going to have to pitch Logan Allen if that's the plan, unless they go to a bullpen game, but I don't think that's going to happen. So it's either going to be Logan Allen or Tristan McKenzie, most likely Logan Allen, as it seems, against Luis Garcia, who's been really, really good for Houston. Then you'll have Henches against Jake Odorizzi on Friday. Come back with Morgan on Saturday against Lance McCullers and Mejia against Framber Valdez on Sunday. Now, I'm not quite sure how the Astros are going to maneuver those two. They both pitched in a doubleheader on the same day in the middle of the week this past week. But I believe that's how it's going to shake out. So I think you're going to see a lot of the bullpen. I think you're going to see a lot of a potential of arms going down and arms coming up from the bullpen, adding an extra arm here and there. I think that's why they added Garza this week. But, you know, there hopefully will be the return of Zach Plesac on the horizon. He threw a couple bullpen sessions. It seems like we're heading towards a soon a rehab start. But again, he still has to build up. You can't just sit as a starting pitcher for 5 weeks and then just, hey, here you go, Zach. Let's get back out there and throw six innings and 100 pitches. It's going to be another buildup. So we're still probably a couple more weeks away from that, but Plesac will be back before any of the other ones. I have not heard a single thing about what the deal is with Shane Bieber, which is not great. But as you know, the Indians are not the greatest in terms of letting the public know what's going on with their players. But needless to say, hopefully he'll be back sooner rather than later. So that now brings us to a couple of other questions. But before we get into that, let me give you a brief rundown of our sponsors. Dr. Ben Hornstein, the Center for Advanced Dentistry, and Dr. Sean Schlessel. Check them out, cfad.net. 216-575-1710. If you're looking for the best dentist on the east side, please check them out. I love them. You should too. Shout out to Sandy. Shout out to Zach Meisel, by the way, who with the tweet of the year saying it's all about the real MVP, Sandy, over there at CFAD at the Center for Advanced Dentistry. So again, cfad.net. Check them out if you need a dentist that will put you at ease in a great, relaxing, clean environment. And then, of course, our friends at BreakingTea.com, you know, this is your time because soon it looks, and we'll touch on this in a minute, Franmil Reyes will be back. So check out the Franimal shirt right there on BreakingTea.com/dairy. We'll take you to the Cleveland collection. They got calf shirts. Hey, maybe there'll be a lottery top five pick t-shirt. Hey, now that you can check out. But yeah, everything from the Cleveland collection, BreakingTea.com/dairy. I know that my brother loves his Sticks t-shirt. I just rocked my Uncle Brian and the Boys t-shirt 2 days ago. Check them out, BreakingTea.com/dairy for the Cleveland collection. And of course, massive, massive shout out to our friends at WaitingForNextYear.com, who give us this platform to spout out our Indians' opinions. Craig Lindell, you're the man. Super producer, extraordinaire. And, of course, the executive producer, Jeremy. So just get all the shout-outs out of the way right there. All right, now we'll do a little quick rundown of what's going on. Here's what I got in my notes. Roberto Perez and Franmil Reyes both on rehab assignment in AAA. Franmil Reyes crushed a bomb Sunday. Looks like he's rounding into form, and we could see him this week. I really hope that we see him this week, which would be great. Roberto is on the 60-day injured list, and he is eligible to come off at the end of this week as well, which brings up a interesting dynamic because I know Rene Rivera is a 37-year-old journeyman, but he's hitting. And he's doing a nice job. He really is. I mean, Austin Hedges obviously is going to be your backup catcher. You know, he's as good as they get on the defensive side. But Rene Rivera hit another home run this weekend. He continued to do a nice job. This isn't a guy you can just send back down to AAA. They're going to designate him for assignment most likely when Roberto comes back. They just did that with Ryan LaVarnway this week. I'm sure he'll clear waivers and he'll return to Columbus, but Berto is on his way back. So let's see what happens with Rene, because you got to give a truly, and Matt and I talked about this last week, the amount of years, the amount of bad third catchers we've seen over the years, Renee's done about as the probably the best job of any of them over all the years that we've seen and having to, you know, get that extra random catcher in there. So he has done a nice job, and he should be credited for that. So if this is the end and the last week of Renee, mad props to him for doing all he could. Now, then we come to the outfield situation. In Sunday's game, I'm sure most of you saw it, and if you didn't see it, you heard it, because a lot of people probably did not want to watch it. Josh Naylor, who our friend Ken Carman calls, you know, the most electrifying player in baseball, most exciting player in baseball, and most entertaining player in baseball. There was a fly ball out to short right field. Ernie Clement, who was playing second base Sunday while Cesar Hernandez was DHing, went out. Naylor, who only knows one speed, and that is full go, came rushing in. And the two collided. Naylor landed really, really awkwardly on his leg. And immediately, I got a text from my boy Ags, who said this was Joe Theismann-esque leg snap. And when you see, I don't want, if you haven't seen it, I wouldn't advise searching it out, because I saw it once. I don't need to see it ever again. His leg was caught under him in a really awkward way. And after the game, manager Terry Francona had said, all we know right now is there is a fracture in there. So I would be shocked if we saw Josh Naylor again this year, which is a real shame on many levels. It's a shame because I saw Rene Rivera interviewed after Sunday's game saying, you know, he's such a great presence in the clubhouse and everybody loves him and he's such a great guy and this one really hurts. And you could see it when he was being carted off the field. The team, you know, it was just devastating for them. And it was a real shame. Naylor getting his first chance to be an everyday player. And now that's probably lost for the rest of the season. And he's going to lose more than a half a season of development, which he really needed, which is a shame. So you're now going to lose him, who was, you know, a regular everyday bat. This is going to open up an interesting situation, because I guess, you know, at the beginning of the year, you would have said, oh, you know, the obvious choice is you bring up Daniel Johnson and he'll take those everyday bats. You still got Jordan Luplow injured, who's going to be out for at least another month. And Harold Ramirez, it has become pretty much a mainstay player. So I would say that Harold will then turn into pretty much an everyday player. But where I'm most interested in is right now, Daniel Johnson's on a hot streak. If you listen to the pod last week, when Matt talked to Ryan Mitchell, play-by-play man of the Columbus Clippers, AAA Tribe, he said the hottest, right now, Oscar Mercado is the hottest outfielder, and he's seems to have found his confidence again. So you got Oscar Mercado down there who's ready to go. You got Daniel Johnson, who seems to have found himself hitting home runs. He's ready to go. And then also, you could also bring up Andrés Giménez, who, you know, had the streak of hitting 7 homers in 8 games last week. He's been playing second and short. Maybe you move Ahmed Rosario back to center field. I don't know. I wouldn't mess with Ahmed right now the way he's going. I'd just leave him at short. But it's going to be an interesting decision to see what they do. So you got Franmil Reyes coming back, and Franmil Reyes is most likely to me, it's activate Franmil Reyes, and go, Josh Naylor to the 60-day injured list. You're going to need a 40-man roster spot for Roberto. So that can wipe that out when Roberto comes up. So, that's move number one. Move number two that I'm making is I'm sending Bradley Zimmer back to AAA. I've said it before. I'll say it again. There is a spot for Bradley Zimmer on this team, but I think Bradley Zimmer is a fifth outfielder who will, you know, play defense and pinch run. On this team, this guy should not be hitting playing every day. And yes, I know the defense has been so bad for this team in the outfield, and Zimmer is a solid defender, but now
he's gotten an extended period of time to play. It hasn't been all that impressive. I mean, he hits singles sometimes. I mean, what can you say about his offense? He's shown no power. You know, he finally had a big hit in the game Friday night, down 8-7, and got thrown out trying to stretch a single into a double in the either eighth or ninth inning. I can't remember, but it was just a bad decision. And, you know, it's just I've seen enough. It's time. Let's see what Daniel Johnson could do. In the pecking order of people I would bring up, I'd give Daniel Johnson his shot now, and then I'd give Oscar another shot. Now that you basically have no Josh Naylor, there's at-bats open, and you can obviously – I love Harold Ramirez. I love what he's brought to the team, but he's no center fielder. And I'd like to keep him in the corner if possible. So I would like to see Daniel Johnson. I think the time for Daniel Johnson is now. If you don't bring him up now, when are you going to bring him up? When are you going to give him at-bats? It's time. He's been in AAA too long. It's time for him to come up. It's time for him to get everyday at-bats. Just because he came up and played in two games and struck out eight times doesn't mean he shouldn't get another shot. That was a terribly small sample size, and I just think that now is the time. So let's give Daniel Johnson, let's free Daniel Johnson one last time, give him an extended look, and hey, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But at least you know you've given him a legitimate chance to try. It's hard. I know we're talking about young guys and the youngest team in baseball, but they're 2.5 games behind the White Sox. They're 3 games out of the wild card. It's a marathon, not a sprint. If they can just somehow tread water until these starting pitchers can come back and just hang around, they'll be right there and playing meaningful baseball in September, and that's really all you can ask for at this point. So listen, boys and girls, that's it. That's all I got. I wanted to give you a short one while Matt was on vacation. Shout out to my brother. Well-deserved. He is the man. He's so good at doing this. I just wanted to make sure, though, that our people got what they need this week. So 3 against the unnamed team, 4 against the Astros, all in Cleveland. This is a long homestand. I hope to see some of you out there this week. And again, shout out to waitingfornextyear.com and the boys, the WFNY crew, C-R-U-E with the dots on top, like Motley Crue. Shout out to them for giving us this platform. And of course, Center for Advanced Dentistry, Dr. Ben Hornstein and Dr. Sean Schlussel, and our friends at BreakingTea.com. So that's it. Hopefully the Tribe can take care of the unnamed team and at least come out of that Astro series with a split. But until next week, I will talk to you then with my brother. Peace.
I'm Bruce Martin, host of Pit Pass Indy. Each week, I go behind the scenes of the NTT IndyCar Series and introduce our listeners to the biggest stars of IndyCar, which features the Indianapolis 500 as its cornerstone event. The men and women that compete in IndyCar may be the bravest athletes in all of sport, as danger lurks around every corner. They are able to look danger in the eye without flinching. That is why the NTT IndyCar Series features the best racing on the planet. Join me every week as we talk to the stars of IndyCar, including the legends of the Indianapolis 500, on Pit Pass Indy from Evergreen Podcast.